All right, we're in Isaiah chapter number 6. Please follow along as I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, starting at verse number 1. And it reads, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him, and each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, 'Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor. Look your neighbor square in the eye. Look your neighbor square in the eye. You want to hold their hand, that's up to you. But look them square in the eye. And say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
I'm in
the right place.
Neighbor,
I'm in
the right place." Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "I'm in the right place." You know, we're going to just jump right on in. What has occurred and what is happening? What we are hearing is from a man whose name is Isaiah, who is one of the prophets, who at this point has received his calling. And what has occurred to really bring things to light is that King Uzziah had died. He had been king of Israel for roughly 52 years. He was considered to be a good king who did the right thing, made some mistakes, because all of us do. But he was a good king. And he died. When he died, he had leprosy. And what occurred to Isaiah was that this good king has now died, and he's in the temple, and he's trying to understand, how am I going to get through this? Because of the fact that he truly admired King Uzziah. But the one thing that he had to be reminded, that there is still a king on the throne. God had to let him know, "I know you truly admired him and how he led, but I want you to know his term has now come to an end. But as you serve me, you don't ever have to wonder where I'm going to be, because my term ain't ever going to come to an end, because I am God eternal. I am God everlasting." And he saw him sitting on a throne, lofty, high, and lifted up. And what he saw when he looked was he saw his hem of his garment filled the temple, which lets you know the awesomeness of God. But then he saw, some of your Bibles say seraphims, and it says the seraphs
had six wings, two covering their face, two covering their feet, two they flew with above the Lord of hosts. And as they're flying around, one's calling to the other, and they're calling back and forth. Because what they're saying is, the Lord is holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You see, what that is telling us is this. These seraphs understood the awesomeness of the God who created them. That they covered their faces and would not even look upon him. Covered their feet so they wouldn't be exposed before him. But they made it their business to let it be known that their only purpose for being in his presence is to worship him. They are getting everything out the way that might get more attention than God. Anything that would have got more attention than God had to get covered. Because the purpose of them being there was to worship him. You see, my brothers and sisters, I know we get suited down and get all nice with our nice outfits, but I want you to understand, that's not the reason why we come to God's house. We come to God's house to give him praise. We come to God's house to worship him. Whether you are in jeans or whether you are suited down, the whole purpose of you being here is not to draw attention to yourself, but give all the intent that you are here to glorify the one who allowed you to exist. Glorify the one that is blessing you. Glorify the one that brought you from a nothing and made something out of you. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Who knows, I wouldn't be where I am if it had not been. But here we're seeing. These seraphs didn't want attention to themselves. But Isaiah, Brother Chester, is seeing them fly around. But some folks say, wait a minute. How could he see God and live? He saw the Adonai. The Adonai means that he saw the dominion of God, which means he was in the presence of God and saw the dominion of God, but he didn't see Jehovah. But he was in the Adonai, in the presence, and saw these seraphs worshiping him. And as he saw what they were doing, and as they spoke, Reverend Flippin, it says that the pivots shook because their cries were so loud. And while that was happening, y'all, it tells us something else happened. The house was filled with smoke. But it's not, see, because what we have to understand from the Old Testament, and when we see that when they were there in the altar and in the inner court, what they did was they burned incense. And the incense let off a sweet aroma of smoke, which allowed that sweet aroma hopefully to reach the nostrils of God to let them know how they wanted him to know how sweet he is and how they wanted their worship to be. But this smoke was a different kind of smoke, Reverend Rose. This smoke was a smoke identifying the glory of the Lord is all throughout the earth. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And what is happening is that Isaiah is able to see the glory of the Lord. And he's seeing how he's being worshipped. And the smoke being everywhere is letting you know that our God is everywhere. No matter where you find yourself, you can find God in that place. And if you are one of God's children, wherever you are, you got to know something. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you ain't ever by yourself. Because if you're one of God's children, his glory is right there with you. If you have been living for him all this time, don't you ever think you are ever going anywhere all by yourself. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are with you every step of the way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? You got to know that the glory of the Lord is with you. But then, here comes the reality. Isaiah being able to see Adonai, he immediately says, woe is me. Why would he say woe is me? Because of the fact he realized something. You know what he realized? I'm lost. And the way that you are lost is when you're going somewhere and you don't know where you're going. Anybody ever made a wrong turn and went the wrong way? I'm talking about before the GPS days, or before you bought it, before you got Google Map, before you got the Waze, before you got this and before you got that. You know, you made a wrong turn and you kept going, and then all of a sudden you realize that I am. You see, my brothers and my sisters, what this man realized is that, you know what, no matter what I was doing in my life, when I look at the presence of God, as I see Adonai all around me, I realize that woe is me because I am lost. And since I'm lost, I am a man of unclean lips. Isn't that what he said? And I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. How unworthy do you think he felt? Being in the presence of a holy God, seeing the seraphs who are holy, praising their holy God. He says, I'm doing what they ain't doing. I'm looking up, but they're covering up. Oh, somebody gonna work. So for me to be able to experience what is occurring all around me, it's letting me know that how can God allow somebody like me to be in this right place and experience what is happening? I don't deserve to be here because I'm unclean. I don't deserve to be here because of what I did on yesterday. I don't deserve to be here because of the way I've been living my life. But God, let me know, in spite of all that I've done, he's all in for me. And since God is all in for me, God is going to meet me right where I am. Thank you, you see, there are some folk who might be sitting up here in church today and say, I don't deserve to be here. I can't clap and shout praises to God because of some of the stuff I've done. Because I have been lost. Because of the mistakes I've made. Because others have made it a point to remind me that I am somebody who is one of the biggest hell raisers there ever be. I am somebody that who ain't care a flying flute about nobody. And the way that I live, I ain't caring about myself. You see, so I'm up in God's house, but I don't think I'm worthy to be here. But what I'm telling you right now, that you are in the right place. You might think you don't deserve to be here, but that's all right. But God made it a point for you to be here because God is letting you know he is all in for you. And God is showing you, in spite of where you've been, in spite of what you've done, that I'm going to give you an opportunity to get right with me and get right with me right now because you are in the right place. You see, what we got to understand, my brothers and my sisters, is that Isaiah understood his condition. Isaiah understood his flaws. Isaiah understood the flaws of those he dealt with. And one of the things he realized was that he was there in the presence of God who is not flawed. But an unflawed God is allowing a flawed person like me to be here in his presence. And since he's allowed me to see what I've sung,
You know, I want you to understand something. When God brings us to the right place, he wants us to know that we got to learn and want to get right with him. And in order to get right with God, you got to get right with yourself. How do you get right with yourself? You got to talk about what you are right now. You got to tell yourself where you're falling short right now. God can't fix you until you're ready to be fixed. So God brought you to the right place in order for you to get right, stay right, and be right. But in order for any of that to happen, you first have to come to your own conclusion of realizing, I know I ain't right. But I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that's the first step in order for you to see the awesomeness of what God can do for you. And once he made the decision to say what he said, what happened is one of the seraphs went and took a prong and got one of those hot coals. It says live coals. Put it on his lips. That brother should have had third degree burns. Yes. Oh, but God. When the coal touched his mouth, he said to him, now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sins is blotted out. You see, what a coal will normally do to you is burn you up. But anything in the hands of God can have a different purpose. And it burned him, but it didn't burn him. It burned the his lips didn't blister. The brother said the feet didn't say how. All he did was stand there in amazement that God was able to do what others thought was an impossibility. And once this happened, God let him know your guilt and your sin have been blotted out. You see, you can't get right until you first come to the right place and tell the truth to yourself. Then God can now do something with you. And once this occurred, the Bible specifically says something in verse number 8. Then. Y'all see that word? That word says what? Then. Which means that before he could hear God, he had to first see the experience of being in his presence and realize that I don't really deserve to be here because I know what I is. I know what I'm not. You see, my brothers and my sisters, if we truly want to see how God can work with us, we got to be truthful with God. Because the truth is the only thing that's going to what? Set us free. And if you truly want to be set free and the Son can set you free indeed, you got to be truthful with who? Yourself. Because if you keep lying to yourself, you can't embrace the truth of God and you'll never be able to get to the then.
Amen.
Anybody hearing what I'm saying?
Because
when you get to verse number 8, it says, then I heard the voice of the Lord. He saw it, recognized it, looked at his condition. The seraph came and gave him the coal. And then he could hear God. You see, and the thing is, there are too many folk in church who get frustrated about, I'll ever hear God. I don't know what God is saying. Did you ever get right? Have you taken the time to get right with God? Are you taking the time to truly do a self-examination of yourself? See where you're falling short and see what you need to do to fix you? You see, my brothers and my sisters, God ain't bring us up in here. Yes, I come just as I am. Yes, we all come just as we are. But God wants you to examine yourself to see what you need to fix because you are now in the right place. God brought you to the right place in order for you to get right. So if you want to get right, you got to look at yourself. Can't nobody examine you. Everybody going to have an opinion about who you are. Everybody going to say this or that about you. But guess what? They ain't living with you 24/7. The only person that's living with you 24/7 is you. Me, myself, and I. That's who is living with me 24/7. So I got to examine myself. I got to check myself because I don't want to wreck myself. I want to be built up because God has called me to do a great work. God is calling all of us to do a great work. And we talked about it in Bible study this past Wednesday. The one thing God called all of us to be is builders. And God is calling us to be builders. And since we're going to be builders, we're not going to demolish stuff, because if we ain't doing nothing, we become a part of the demolition team. But God is calling us to be builders. We got to learn how to build up ourselves and in turn learn how to build up somebody else. I want you to understand something, that what is happening with Isaiah right now is he's now beginning his own build up process, because he had to do a self-examination. And in through doing that examination, we see that the coal came and blotted out the sin and blotted out his guilt, to let him know that you can get past all that stuff. How many folk up in God's house are still holding on to some guilt? How many folk in God's house are still caught up in some of the stuff you've done wrong? How many folk in God's house haven't learned how to forgive yourself? You've done something that you still kick yourself for every single day. It's time right now, my brothers and my sisters. You got to get over your own guilt. Jesus came to take your guilt and your sin to the cross. He did that so that he could make a difference in our lives. So why are you still walking around holding on to all that guilt? I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, let it go. Say it to him for real. Let it go. You see, I want you to understand something. There's not a guiltless person in here. We all have been guilty. We all have sinned. But I thank God for Jesus. We've been covered in the blood. And through covered in the blood, our guilt and our sin has been washed. Get past yourself. Let that guilt go. Let God have you. And every time somebody come up in your face trying to remind you of what you did, you tell them to talk to the hand. I ain't got time for that. My God has healed, delivered, set me free. My God has cleansed me of this. My God has cleansed me of that. So I don't care what you know about what I did 5 years ago, last week, 2 days ago, 10 years. I'm not going to let you burden me down with my mistakes of yesterday. I've been forgiven in my mistakes. Do I got anybody that's been forgiven? Do I got anybody who recognizes? It's nobody but God who brought you through. Go on and get three folk and say, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. You see, my brothers and sisters, we got to know, don't let nobody hold you back. You're in the right place for God to do a right thing with you. And that's why some of us ain't heard God, because we ain't examined self. We ain't tell God the truth yet. And that's why God ain't speaking to us. You want God to speak to you? You got to be truthful with yourself. You want God to speak with you? You got to say, Lord, I surrender. You see, my brothers and my sisters, don't you know? He didn't say it, but you know what Isaiah did? He what? He surrendered. You know, I know he surrendered because he understood his predicament. He understood his situation, and he no longer wanted that situation to dominate him. You know what the reality was? He was tired of being lost. You ever have somebody who always want to give you a ride but never know where the heck they're going? And you get in the car like, you know what we got? I don't know where we're going. That's why I picked you up. I thought you knew. I picked you up because I thought you knew. You get tired of riding with that person.
Yeah.
Because they're always going to get
lost.
And you are tired of being
lost.
You see, the Lord Jesus came so that we will no longer be
lost.
He came so that we could be
free.
So what we're seeing is that Isaiah received the coal to his lips because he was tired of being lost. And you know what he was going to do now that he had been found? He was going to go back to them same folk who were in the same predicament as him. and share with them so they no longer would be. You see, my brothers and my sisters, how many folk are still in church going in the same circle and wonder why they ain't going nowhere? How many folk are still doing the same thing the way they did it for the longest time, but still ain't nothing changed? You might as well go on and just be. Because ain't nothing changing where you're going. Ain't nothing getting better where you're going. That means you're not going the right way. You're not doing it the right way. You see, you're listening to the wrong people. You need to be listening more to God than you need to be listening to people. You and I got to understand the one who brought us this far, his name is Jesus. You know, everybody's going to have an opinion about your life. Everybody's going to have an opinion about what you're doing. But the only one that healed, delivered, and set you free, his name is
Jesus.
You see, so that's the one you ought to be listening to. That's why you got to come to the right place in order to get right with him. And I understand there's always some folks say, I know what you need to do. I know what's going to help you get right. If they don't say Jesus, then it's time for me to keep moving. Because he's the only one that can get me right, keep me right, and so that I will go right. Because the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I was tired of being lost. Ain't that why we're here now? We were tired of being lost in the sauce, not knowing what it tastes like. So what we're seeing here is this. If you want to hear the voice of the Lord, you got to tell yourself, I'm tired of being lost. Self-examination is what has to take place so that you will no longer be lost.
That's right.
I want to hear from God.
Yeah.
You want to hear from God?
Yeah.
Examine yourself.
Yeah.
Tell God the truth.
Yeah.
And watch how God's going to come through and heal you. And then he's saying, you're ready to hear what I have to say. Verse number 8 says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Right? Who shall I send? And then check this out. Who gonna go for us? See the us? He ain't say me, he said us. So even though we see that the Trinity has not been identified, he still says us. You see, because when you go back to Genesis chapter 1, he said, let us. Working with me. You see that is letting me understand that the Lord of hosts already had the plan in place, even though the plan had yet to be manifested through Christ. But the plan was already in place because there was already a us before we saw us. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. Before the Trinity existed, the Trinity was already there. The Trinity had not yet manifested itself here on this earth. But we are thankful that there is a us, because he says, who will I send for us? You see, so at this point, we're seeing that Isaiah heard God. Up to this point, he had never heard God before. But now that he has examined himself, now that he has been freed of his guilt and sin, now when God speaks, he can. And now that God spoke, and now that God asked and raised the question, Isaiah says something. He says, here I am. Send me. Lord, you've already showed me. You are all in. You already showed me that I'm in the. And now that I'm in the right place, I just got right with you. And I'm no longer lost. I'm no longer bound by sin. And now that you say, who are you going to send? Lord, I'm going to be all in. And I'm going to say, I'm here. Send me. You see, my brothers and sisters, you want to see how good God's going to work in your life? You got to hear. And then once you hear, how you going to respond? Because how you respond is going to make a determination of what happens next. You see, I want you to understand something. He did not give him all the details. He wanted to know, will you go? And once he said, here am I, send me.
He ain't wait. Say, oh Lord, wait a minute, but wait a minute. Let's discuss this. Before I answer, what are the actual prerequisites? What is it specifically you want me to do? I need to understand first, because I am not sure if I will be capable of doing it. I'm here to tell you right now, when God calls you, he wants to know where you go. And whatever you don't have, he'll supply. And whatever you do have, he'll increase.
Yes.
There are so many folk who are stuck where they are because they have yet to be one to say, here. God wants to know, I need some more. Here I am, people. And as we're looking at what God has brought to us as a vision for this church, it's left up to all of us in here to answer individually, then collectively, we can move forward because we're saying, Lord, here I am. See, y'all got quiet. Y'all got quiet. Y'all got quiet. Because of the fact that you have to understand something. If you're going to truly step out on faith, that's called faith. That means that you're not knowing specifically where you're going. But you do know that there's somebody who is driving the car, who is taking you where you need to go. Because you made the decision to walk by and not by. And you know that the Lord ain't going to take you somewhere where you're going to fall off a cliff. You see, our God is going to protect us. He said he's with us always until the end of the earth. Don't you know that the Lord will not do anything that's going to bring you down? But everything God's going to do is going to lift you up. Because when he lifts you up, you're going to make it a business to let folk know it's nobody but the Lord who made a way out of no way. You ain't going to toot your own horn. You're going to stand there and let folk know how good our God is. Because if my God wasn't good, I wouldn't be here right now. Do I have anybody who understands that it's the awesomeness of our God who has brought us this far? And all God wants to know, are you going to be able to step out on faith? Are you going to be able to go with the minimal details, but understand that if I got your back, I got your front, I got your left, I got your right, I got your top, I got your bottom, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to open up doors. I'm going to knock down walls. I'm going to put you through and bring you through whatever you are dealing with. All God wants to know, can I send you?
Thank you,
Jesus. So when you look at what God is calling us to do here at Broad Rock, when you look at where God is taking us here at Broad Rock, all God wants to know is, are you going to trust me? You see, my brothers and sisters, that's what it really boils down to. Are you going to trust God? You see, so some folk get caught up because you're looking at me. You got to look past me and look at where we're coming from. If I'm just talking about what I think coming off the top of my head, then you don't need to listen to a word I'm talking about. But if we are coming from the unadulterated word of God, and that word is power, and that word brings power to our lives, that word brings change to our lives, and we've seen the change, then why are we going to let anything else get in our way? We got to understand that it's all about the word of God that is our roadmap. It is the word of God that gives us the power and the ability. Yes, God's anointing is upon me, but guess who I give all glory, honor, and praise to? God. You see, and if we keep God first and all that we do, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all things shall be added unto you. So what I'm saying to you right now, my brothers and my sisters, when God says, who will I send? Who's going to go for us? Will you go for him? Will you say, Lord, here am I, send me. You see, my brothers and my sisters, that's what God is asking us right now, because we are in the right place. He's asking us in this right place, which is going to become a fellowship hall, because the other place is going to be right next door. God wants to know, can he send you? Can he use you? Will you listen to him? Will you give him all kinds of excuses? God wants us all to be on one accord. You see, if you understand what God is doing with us, I know we feel that we don't have everything we need. Then that means that we are not trusting God. We got to put our trust in God. You see, when I look at it, because during the prayer visual, it came up the story yesterday about Gideon.
You see, when Gideon was calling out to all the tribes to put together an army to fight against the enemy, what we see, that 30,000 folk came out. And when 30,000 folk came out, God told Gideon, that's too many folk. You see, because there's too many folk. They're not going to give me the glory, the honor, and the praise. They're going to pat themselves on the back for what they've done. And then what happened? It got dwindled down to 10,000 folk. And Gideon said, is that enough? No, that's still too many folk. Because they're going to still try to pat themselves on the back. He said, well, take them down to the water. Those that go down and lap the water like water, those are the ones you take. Those, you know why he chose them folk? Because them folk went down to the water, wouldn't care what's around them. Because they figured that if God brought me this far, I can drop my head down and just drink some water. And if I drop my head down and drink some water, I ain't got to worry about nobody knocking me over the head. And the Lord said to him, only 300 bent down and drank water. Guess what? Those are the 300 you're going to go to fight with. And don't you know those 300 brought them through? And don't you know they got the victory because the Lord did all the work. All God is looking for are some faithful folk. All God is looking for are some people who are saying, Lord, send me, because God wants us to walk by and not by. You see, my brothers and sisters, you're in the right place. Even though you feel that you don't deserve to be here, that's the time for you now to examine yourself and see, what is it that I need to do to get right? Because I'm now in the right place.